Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros, episode 17. Lasha and I, we're going to be talking about a really good question. And the name of the episode is, what really makes a good bullpen in the MLB? So the other day, a good friend of ours asked me, what do I think makes a good bullpen? And I was like, damn, that's a really good question, you know, because there's a lot of ways to go about it. You know, do you go with the hot hand? Do you go with, you know, do you have a structure or system in play? Every team goes about it a completely different way, you know, and it's very important for a manager and a pitching coach to have a really good system in play because, you know, if you go into a four-game series and your starter blows it in the first three innings, you have to figure out what you're going to do because it's going to be a long series and you don't want your bullpen to implode and you don't want this opposing team to see these relievers multiple times in a series because they catch on and it changes the outcome of the game. What's going on, Lash? How's it going today, bro?
Hey, man. I'm well, man. This is a good topic. I can't believe we're just about 2 weeks away from the halfway point of the season. It's gone by fast. But this is a definitely interesting topic. I was listening to a sports talk show that I listened to. That's a New York-based sports talk show host. And they were talking about that. He was talking about, you know, the bullpens and stuff and their issues. So I kind of made me think of, oh, this is perfect for this podcast we're doing. So we'll rehash that later in the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a good topic. I think that it's something that, you know, needs to be spoken about. And we're going to have fun with this one because we're pretty much going off the cuff. You know, I have my ideas of what I think a really good bullpen, you know, needs and succeed anyway, you know, but it's just an opinion-based show today, you know. And just want to let the fans know that we have not discussed this amongst ourselves, and it's going to be interesting to hear what Lasha has to say, and I'm pretty sure he's going to find what I have to say a little interesting as well, you know. I've thought about this a lot prior to this podcast, you know, and, you know, when I watch the games, I always say to myself, you know what, they're doing that wrong. I don't like the way they're doing this, especially in a big series, like a four-game series against any team. You know, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. But the MLB, you know, the average amount of relievers in a bullpen in the MLB is 8, right? So obviously you have a closer. And then you have to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of the guys in the bullpen, right? So I'm going to Lasha set it off and give us, you know, his thoughts on what he thinks makes a good bullpen.
So the way I would approach the bullpen is based on whoever I'm facing, so the day of. So if I'm facing a team where I have a heavy left-handed lineup, I'm going to line up all my left-handed pitchers to come out first. Now the other team does like to throw curveballs. All right, well, you're expecting this guy who's a lefty to come up, but you know what? Let's throw in a right-handed hitter So then it forces the current manager to be like, well, should I leave the left-handed pitcher in, or do I have to start over and get a right-handed pitcher and get one pitcher in for that right-handed guy just to go back and get a new left-handed? It drives me crazy because you're just burning for no reason. My thinking is this, right? If I'm in the inning and there's in that inning, those three batters, two out of those three are left-handed hitters and that middle guy is a right-handed hitter, I'm going to keep that left-handed in and say, hey, listen, you got to get through it. Figure it out. You know what I mean? If he hits you, great. If he doesn't, even better. Because the problem is you're wearing these guys out. So now if you bring in the next left-handed pitcher in after the guy you sat, you're only bringing that guy in for one batter, essentially. Actually, yeah, well, now it's three.
Now it's three, exactly. I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the new rules, you know, it's been around for a couple of years now. You have to face a minimum of three batters. All right, back in the day when we were, you know, young and watching the game, that rule was around where you could bring one guy in to face that lefty and then you would sit him right back down. But since the MLB wanted to, you know, make the game a little faster for the folks at home and the people in the stands, they changed it. And it does help with, you know, the time management of the game. But you're not allowed to bring one pitcher in for one specific batter. So now when they bring somebody in from the bullpen, that pitcher has to pitch to the next three batters. And if he doesn't, if he gets out of the inning prior to facing those three batters, they can change the reliever once again. But he, before being able to swap him out in that specific inning, he has to face three batters.
Yeah, so with that being said, if you got face three batters and one of those three guys is a right-hander, leave him in there. And now, for example, right, if he gets to those next three innings, right, in that inning and gets to all those batters, and now the next inning is you have another left-hander coming up, let him pitch into that next inning. All right, now you got four batters. And then if you notice that after that left-handed hitter, there's like two righties, then you make the switch. So it kind of makes it harder to do flip-flop because you have to pitch at least a minimum of three batters. So if an inning goes accordingly, pop-up, strikeout, or either a combination or even a ground, any type of out, and it's three outs and consecutively, then it's going to be hard for the manager to, you know, switch the pitcher to match the hitter that's at bat. So my thinking is if you know that the team you're facing has a heavy left-handed lineup, just keep the left-handed in. And if his percentage is way greater against lefties, and he struggles against the righty, there's a very good chance that you should be able to get through that inning, even if that one guy gets on, but another left-handed hitter gets on. You're going to get out of the inning most likely because he knows how to do well against left-handed hitters.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So you're.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You'll take the risk and say, all right, well, you just hope, because the goal is this, right? When you bring in a left-handed pitcher to face a left-handed batter, you as the manager are saying, I know your strength is against left-handed hitters. I'm entrusting and I'm hoping that you can get these two out of three left-handed guys out of the lineup in that inning. If that does not go accordingly, then you have to decide, okay, well, those two left-handed guys got on. Now I have no choice but to pitch to the right-handed pitcher, which could be dangerous because if I pitch to that right-handed hitter and the two left-handed hitters got on base and that right-handed guy catching one of my balls and he hits it, now you just gave a three-run home run. And that's people start questioning. But the manager's kind of handcuffed with that three-batter minimum rule. So what's he supposed to do? He's going to have to just hope that you get the left-handed guys out, and then you move on with the right-handed, and hopefully, and then after that, once you face the right-handed, if you want to sit him down and bring in a right-handed, fine, go ahead. You know, you just it's I would dictate it based on the lineup you're facing, the batters that you're facing at the current inning that you're going into. So, like I said, leave the guy in there. Now, if it's the other way around, where you got a right-handed pitcher and majority of the lineup is right-handed hitters, and in that inning you are facing two right-handed pitchers or two, you know, one left-handed and two right-handed batters, leave them in there. Figure it out. You know what I mean? Get yourself out of there. Same thing. So, like, for example, right? Let's say in the seventh inning, it's a right-handed pitcher pitching. In that inning, two out of three hitters are right-handed, right? You leave him in there. Let's say he gets a 1-2-3, right? In the next inning, right, if there's another right-handed guy, a right-handed hitter, and then two left-handed, I'd keep that guy in there until he gets that right-handed guy out, and then you switch to a left-handed pitcher. Just because you know you're going to be facing a write-up, and then you don't have to waste another arm, assuming that he doesn't blow the game, you know?
I dig it. I understand exactly what you're saying. So it's very difficult, you know, like I said, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. I feel like that's the problem out there in the major leagues. I think the manager is pretty much going with the hot hand, and there's no real structure there. Now, you see how there's a rotation, right? You have these five guys. They know exactly when they're going to pitch. They know how to, you know, get ready for that game. There's specific, you know, checkpoints that they have to meet before they make that start that day, you know, and they know on Tuesday I'm coming up and I have to face blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't matter whether the lineup is heavy handed on the left side or on the right side. You know, this guy is going to come in on his fifth day and he's going to pitch, right? This is how it works. Now, when it comes to the bullpen, like I said, there's eight average pitchers in the bullpen for all Major League Baseball teams. So, obviously, we have a closer. So, I'm going to have three middle relievers, right? So, that's four now. And out of those three middle relievers, I'm going to have a lefty in there. Now, these are the guys that should know that they're coming into a game if the pitcher faults. Okay? So, if our, you know, third starter in the rotation can't go six innings, all right? And I'll give you that example, six innings, because this is my structure, and this is how I would set up my bullpen. And the reason why I'm setting it up this way is because I want these guys to be able to prepare mentally and physically for what's going to happen. And even if they don't have to pitch that day because the starter was able to go six innings, right? I want to have a bridge. And this is how it works. Now, if my starter gets lit up for five runs in the third inning, then I want one of those three middle relievers to know that they're coming in. So if I'm looking at the opposing lineup and I know that they're heavy on the left side for that day, then I know for a fact that I'm going to tell my lefty middle reliever that if things don't work well for the starter, he will definitely be coming in. So mentally and physically, he can prepare himself, all right? Because sometimes I feel like, you know, these pitchers are sitting in the bullpen, you know, they're hoping that everything goes well for their team because, you know, they want to win too. They're a very important piece of the puzzle. And you know, they're sitting there, they're rooting for their team. They're not even really connected to the team because they sit in a completely different area from the whole team. And I think that's bad too. But that's, you know, that's another podcast. That's for another day. I just feel like these guys should be in the, you know, in the dugout with the rest of the team so they can root and build chemistry and do all those things. And talk about what's happening and what guys are able and not able to hit. You understand what I'm saying? So they can communicate, because communication is a big key. I don't know if you noticed, you know, when you watch your baseball team, you see, you know, the best stars on the team are always communicating to the rest of the guys coming up after them when it comes to like either striking out or getting a big hit against a pitcher from the opposing team. You know, I see Lindor doing it all the time. I see JD Martinez doing it all the time. You know, these are the things that are going to help you excel in a baseball game. So now I have three middle relievers, right? One of them is going to be a lefty, and they're going to know prior to this game start that they're going to be coming up if things fail, you know, especially if it happens prior to the sixth inning. Okay, so these guys are going to know that they're going coming into the game, they're going to be physically and mentally prepared for it. All right, so now if the opposing team's, you know, lineup is heavy on the right side, then obviously I'm going to bring my righty in there. Now, if my righty mid reliever plays on a Monday, he will not play again on Tuesday. He will not be available on Tuesday. And this is why I have three middle relievers, just in case things don't, they go south. So if they're heavy on the left side and things go south, then guess what? That lefty middle reliever is going to come in. And this is all prior to the sixth inning. Now, after, I don't care. Let me explain something to you. I don't care if my...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Starting pitcher is, you know, low on the ball count and has 70, 60 pitches, and he mowed down the rotation, the lineup, multiple times. He's out after that sixth inning because I want to save him, okay? I don't care if he's throwing a no-hitter. I'm going to save him because, you know, analytics always show that after a third time around, they're going to get, you know, they're going to start hitting you. It just makes sense because they're seeing you over and over again, and they're watching you pitch. So after three times, you know, through the lineup, they're going to figure it out. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. So I have two seventh inning guys. One is going to be a lefty. One is going to be a righty. And I'm going to alternate them. And like I said, if they're heavy on the left side, the lefty comes in first. And if he pitches on a Monday, then guess what? That righty is going to have to come in the next day. Unless it's a pivotal game and we're in the playoffs and this guy's like, give me the ball, I'm ready. That's a different story. But I'm going to alternate those guys as well. All right? So this way, the opposing team can't get comfortable. They can't say, we saw this guy last night. We know what he's coming with. They won't be able to say that. They won't be able to say that. Because I'm going to switch it up on them. So I'm going to have a 7th, 8th, and I'm going to have my closer come in if need be. I'm going to have him come in. So I have two 7th inning guys that are going to bridge the gap, right? And it's going to be one lefty and one righty. And then I'm going to have two setup guys in the 8th inning, right? One is going to be lefty, one is going to be righty. And I'm going to do the same thing with them. If you saw him on a Monday, you're not going to see him on a Tuesday. And I'm going to alternate these guys. So now, not only that, these guys are going to know that they're coming up to a pitch. You know, they're going to be able to prepare themselves physically and mentally. And then, of course, I have my closer in those situations where the game is, you know, close. And then he's going to come in and he's going to handle his business. But I'm not going to bring my closer in the 8th inning. I'm not going to do any of that to get 4 outs, 5 outs. I'm not going to do that because I set myself up. If I have 8 guys, I have 3 middle relievers, one of them is a lefty. I have a 7th inning guy, one lefty, one righty. I have my setup guys. I have a lefty and a righty, and I have my closer. Those are my 8 guys. And I'm going to alternate them, and I'm going to let them know before this game starts what the plan is. So this way they can prepare for it mentally. I think that's a very big, important part of the puzzle. And this is how I'm going to win games, you know? And I'm not going to allow this opposing team to see the same guys night after night, especially in a four-game series. The Mets just finished playing the Washington Nationals over four games in a series in Washington, D.C., and it was crazy because you can tell that the bullpen is tired, and you could tell that there was no structure there, and it hurt us. You know, we ended up splitting the series. We won the first two. We lost the last two, and I think this is a reason why. All right, yeah, we lost, you know, a lot of important pieces in the bullpen this year. You know, they're gone, and they need Tommy John, so we're not going to be able to see them, and we need to figure it out. But this is why I think this is a really good, you know, it's an important episode because it's something that needs to be spoken about, you know? And that question that our friend brought up is, it's interesting, and I like it.
No, it's definitely a good question. So going back to what I mentioned in the beginning of the show, the reason why we're now in a situation where we have to play chess with our bullpen, because it's not because we want to, you know, we don't want the other team to figure out who's going to come in. It's because a lot of these pitchers, they're not like strikeout pitchers anymore. You don't have a lot of these pitchers that come in. They're ground ball, either they're ground ball pitchers or they, you know, they fly ball pitchers. Meaning most of their outs either by a fly out or a ground out. There's no more, you know, when Mariano came in or Francisco Rodriguez, former Met Angel, when those guys came in, even Trevor Hoffman, you know you weren't going to have to go set up another pitcher because he was going to close them out, you know? And even the middle relief guys back in the 90s and the early 2000s, you had pitchers that came in and they were lights out, meaning like if you got a hit, it was like a miracle because those guys just knew how to strike you out. Yeah, these guys, they don't do that. And the other thing is a lot of these middle relief guys, they throw hard too. But the problem is you have a really short window. So to get yourself up to where you need to go velocity-wise, you only have three. Essentially, you only have three batters that you got to get your velocity way up there. And that's going to be very hard to do because they're going to try to come out guns blazing. And the problem with that was when you try to come out guns blazing, you're prone to making a mistake. You're prone to giving up a hit. You're prone to give up a run. Anything happens. So that's the main reason why we are in this situation where we are with the bullpens kind of having to be utilized to eight pitchers. That's kind of crazy because, like, remember, back in the 90s and the 80s, I mean, back in the 90s and early 2000s, most of your starting pitchers went seven innings. Yeah. So you only had to use your bullpen for two innings, eighth and ninth. And at best, you'd be surprised if you got past four pitchers.
That's an
interesting now, woo, yeah.
You said a mouthful.
Now, yeah, but now, because everything is, you know, everything is broken down by numbers and stuff. And that's another point why I don't like analytics. Because analytics, you know, takes away that feeling. So everyone, they tend to lean towards the numbers than like, you know, if my guy's freaking throwing out gas and he's striking people out this week, leave it in there. Who cares? Go until he can no longer do it. Then you switch him out. Whatever. Then give him the rest. But don't just take him out because, oh, the number said third time in the line. If he's on fire, he's on fire. You know what I mean? Like, do you think, think of how crazy it would have been if the Mets at the time when they had Francisco Rodriguez, if they took him out, they didn't have to let him pitch the next game because analytics said that, you know, he's going to see that lineup three times. It's the same three lineups in the three-game series. So if he happened to pitch the first two innings to close out the first two games in that series, right, and they're going to be like, oh, we're not going to pitch you now because we're worried you're going to get slapped around. No, they would never do that. That's your best closer. You leave him in there, and you let him figure it out. But they don't do that anymore, and it drives me nuts because when I always thought of, you know, back in the 2000s, when I knew Mariano was coming, or Francisco Rodriguez, or Trevor Hoffman, or whoever it is, I knew that that's all I'm going to see. There's no way I'm going to see another pitcher because I knew those guys were lights out. They just knew how to. But those guys, they didn't have speed. They had control. Today's pitchers don't have control. It's all about gas, 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 gas. Well, guess what happens when you have gas, 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 gas? It's like a car. You're eventually going to run out. What happens? You have to refuel. So when you refuel, you got to get another guy up. You got to get him wound up. You got to get him started. That's a lot of work. You know what I mean?
It is.
So that's my problem with it. But but you can thank analytics. That's one of the things that analytics has destroyed.
Yeah, no, you're
as far
right.
As baseball.
But it's funny because you know, I don't really care for analytics as well, right? But when it comes to a situation like this and the numbers speak for themselves, I have to kind of like agree with it. You know what I'm saying? All right, we remember the big game that, you know, Blake Snell was in and they pulled him out in the playoffs and they ended up losing, right? When he was on fire.
It was the World Series, don't forget.
Right? And I'm glad you reminded me because, you know, I remember the big game. I remember the game. I remember the articles and he was on fire. They took him out and they lost. And this is what happens. But I believe in analytics when it comes to the bullpen. I think it's very important when it comes to that. This is the one side of the game that I agree with the analytics, you know, and I totally believe that, you know, after a lineup sees you, you know, three times, you know, around, things are gonna change. The baseball game is gonna change. You know, they're gonna get used to what you're throwing them. You know, you have to be able to reinvent yourself. All right. Another thing, if I'm the general manager, right, and I have this bullpen, and yeah, all right, 2023, you guys did well. You know, you had a really low ERA combined, you know, eight guys, you know. And it's like, you know, like I said, you know, they keep them separate from the team when the game is on. So they're their own little team and little island, you know. So they have to, you know, build their own little chemistry, right? They're like a different, you know, side of the team. So I'm going to force these guys to reinvent themselves on a yearly basis. So I'm going to ask every single one of these guys to learn a new pitch. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to ask these guys to reinvent themselves. So this way, you know, there's no real looking at the tape. Oh, well, guess what? Yeah, he had those four pitches and now he's throwing a fifth. Or he had three pitches and now he's throwing a fourth. So you need to continue to build on what you have. You know, you can't rely on the same pitch every single time you come out of the bullpen. You have to make it interesting. You have to make it harder for the opposing team. So yeah, I'm gonna force these guys because they're on the contract, right? And they work for me. I'm gonna force these guys to learn a new pitch and I'm gonna really develop these guys and work on that during spring training. I want these guys to come out of there with a pitch that they weren't using at all. Or to slow down a pitch or speed up a pitch. Do something completely different from what they were doing the year prior. So this way, it keeps everything interesting and it keeps the bullpen hot. There's a lot of things that I don't see happening, you know? And, you know, once you get used to, especially divisional games, all right? You have to understand that, you know, we're seeing these same teams multiple times during a year. And these teams get used to, you know, these pitchers and they get used to what they're seeing. The speeds, the way the pitch moves, and it makes it a little easier for them to adjust. Okay? So, you know, it's like, you know, when you play, like now we're playing every single team in the league. So, obviously, you know, these pitchers are seeing new batters and vice versa. So, yeah, the first game in the series is going to, you know, cause a little bit of a problem for the lineup to, you know, hit the pitcher, right? But then, God forbid, the rotation has a hard start and then you have to rely on the bullpen, right? And it's the first game of the series and this team saw three of your bullpen arms in one game. Guess what? It might happen again. Or if you have two teams that are very similar and, you know, they're both scrappy and they don't really produce a lot of runs. So it's going to be a tight game, right? And you're going to see a lot of relief in the games. Once they get used to the relief, the score is going to change. The dynamic of the game is going to change. So this is why I feel like they should reinvent themselves on a yearly basis. This is why I feel like bullpen arms need structure and need to know you're going to be playing today if things go south. The 7th, 8th, and 9th guys, they're definitely going to come in. You have to have some sort of structure. So this way, you know, it's just not like you're picking out of a hat saying, oh, well, you're pitching today. You know, we picked you out of a hat. No, they need to know. They need to know so they can prepare for it. Like I said, mentally and physically. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I'm not running the show. I'm not, you know, in charge of what happens. But I think that if anyone is listening out there and truly understands the game of baseball, that they're going to agree with what I'm saying. And you made a lot of great points as well. It's just, you know, whether or not teams out there are going to take advantage of what we just said, you know, or you know what, if it's even going to work, you know, I don't know. You know, we're just, you know, flying off the cuff and we're talking about what we think would work and be better, but whatever, you know, like I said, it's an opinion based episode and we're just, you know, shooting it. But let's talk about what's going on out there. You know, I want to talk about the Mets. I want to talk about what's wrong with the Yankees. I want to talk about the O's. There's a lot of, you know, interesting things happening out there. Like, for example, like the Mets, they won 21 out of 33 games since May 30th, right? They had a little war with Houston. You know, they got back on the horse. I know you think that the Mets should sell, but we're not in agreement when it comes to that because, you know, they've been, you know, an offensive powerhouse. You know, they hit 36 home runs in 16 straight games. There's something going on over there, the chemistry, or they figured it out. There's something there, you know, like, listen, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about it, and I was ready to sell everybody on the team, but for some reason, something's happening right now. And listen, if your management, there's no way that this organization is going to be sellers at this point, you know? We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure it out. And we're hitting at the right time. And we're moving up in the, you know, in the division. We're moving up in the wild card race. And I think we have a shot. I think I like what I see, you know? Like I said, we hit a bump, you know, when we played Houston. Houston's a hot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Our team as well, and I think, you know, we were two similar ball clubs and, you know, they got to us, you know. That was the first. We lost the series at the end of the month, right? So they took 2 out of 3, but I think that the Mets have something and we have to ride the wave. I just, you know, I understand what you're saying, Lasha. I understand that, you know, you want to build on the future of the ball club and you feel like we can win more championships and make the playoffs a lot more times if we get rid of the cancer. But I think that, you know, we have a hot hand and we have to play it. Talk to me.
Yeah, no, like I said, this is the dilemma that you always run into is like, you know, beginning of the year, like, yeah, I'm all on board. Sell. Now that they've hit this wonderful peak in their season when they were winning all these games and the offense seems to be more alive than in the beginning of the season. It's like, ooh, now you're afraid to touch it, you know, because you don't want to mess up something that's good. But the thing I always struggle with is Steve Cohen kind of has me confused because he says he wants to build up a farm system, but then he also says, but we're good enough that we can compete. Well, if you want to build up the farm system and you also think you can make the playoffs, it's kind of hard to do both, essentially.
I understand.
Because if you want to build up the farm system, you're going to have to get rid of the current players that you have that you think can be good trade bait or trade pieces. And that means that you might have to get rid of McNeil. You might have to get rid of Alonso. You know, Lindor. No one's going to get rid of Lindor because he's just too much money. But anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but look at the way Lindor's hitting right now. Lindor's heading, I think he leads the league. I don't even want to say that, but he's a doubles machine. You know, he's producing. He's heading from the left side. I hated him when he even attempted to hit from the left side, it bothered me. But now he's hitting from both sides. He's super productive and he's a leader, you know, and it's just weird to me. Like, he figured it out. And, you know, ever since they made him a leadoff hitter, he, for some reason, it just sparked and it made sense and it works. And you see the numbers. The numbers are there. And I can't see myself selling any pieces of this puzzle. I mean, listen, I would still get rid of McNeil. I think that Iglesias should be playing on a daily basis. I understand that McNeil got the contract and, you know, we can't have a player making that kind of money sitting on the bench. And I understand all that, but I believe that this team has the chemistry and they're starting to figure it out. And they're scoring over 5-6 runs a game and they're super productive and they're just not hitting home runs. You know, they're getting on base and they're doing all the right things. They're starting to steal a lot more. I've seen a lot of crazy things happening. You know, I sit down, my dad's in town, and you know, we sit and watch the games together when I come home from work when the games start at 7:10, you know. And Jesus, it's like a whole new ball club, you know. That it's pretty amazing to see. Listen, I'm a Mets fan. I understand what, you know, what it entails, right? So the trade deadline is around the corner. And we're playing well now. And then right after the trade deadline hits, you know, we fall apart again. And then, you know, we didn't get rid of the pieces that we were supposed to so we can build on the future. This is what I'm waiting for. You know, we call it the debacle. You know, all the Mets fans that, you know, I mess with and I talk to on a daily basis, we call it the yearly debacle, you know, because it's like, you know, we started off really well, right? After the 0-5, obviously, and then we fell apart. And then, you know, I'm like, sell, sell, sell. And then all of a sudden, our June was like, we were the hottest team in baseball in June. All right, now we're in a new month, right? And we're trying to figure it out. We started off the month with Washington. They're a scrappy team. They're fighting as well. They're a young team, you know, so they have great pitching. Their bullpen is kind of suspect, just like ours is at the moment, but they're a scrappy team. They're young. They want to win, right? And it's funny because, you know, they won the championship not too long ago, 2019. And it's funny how they were able to, like, you know, get back on the horse really, really fast. And this is something the Mets can't do because, you know, we depleted our farm system and we had all these problems. But Washington is a really good team now. I love their pitching, you know, Mackenzie Gore. They have a lot of, you know, good youth there. And I think that they're going to be relevant really soon. Now, we were able to split that series. You know, we didn't lose the series. We split the series, right? And then, of course, right after that series, we ended up, you know, we lost the last two games of that series. And then we had to, you know, go up against Paul Skeens, who's having an amazing season. And we'll talk about those numbers a little later. But we had to fight him. And we lost 3 in a row. Right? We were able to win today. We came back. You know, a 3-game skid is pretty bad when you're trying to get into the wild card, you know, into a wild card race. And there's a lot of good teams out there. St. Louis turned it around. And San Diego's still in the fight. And these are the teams I'm worried about, San Diego and St. Louis. I'm not worried about anybody else. I don't think that, you know, if we have to, you know, fight to get to the wild card, I think it's going to be through those two teams. Those two teams are playing really hard right now. But, you know, the bullpen is the problem. You know, like I said, like, the relievers are walking way too many hitters, right? And we lost Riley and we lost Smith for the season. So Stearns has to figure out, you know, how to address the bullpen at this point. So you're saying sell, I'm saying buy. So our problem is the bullpen. So we need to figure that out. And we don't know. Diaz came back today, you know, after being banned for 10 games because they found some sticky substance, you know. And I read an article today that he's saying he didn't do anything wrong. He's going to continue to, you know, set up and come into games the same exact way. So basically you're telling me that you're going to get banned again because if they find something wrong, you have to fix it, all right? Whether or not you were doing something wrong, all right? It's like, you know, it's your job. So if they're telling you, you can't go about it that way anymore, and you continue to do the same thing, you're going to end up getting fired. All right. So we don't know how he's going to be mentally or physically, you know. So we have to worry about the bullpen. If you want to compete and try to make it to the postseason, Stearns has to worry about how he's going to redevelop this bullpen so we can stay relevant and continue to win games, especially late in games when, you know, the rotation falls apart or whatever it is, you know. But listen, like I said, 21 out of 33 games, I think that's pretty amazing. I'm just saying, you know. You tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, no, they're good. As far as the Diaz situation, I don't know what really happened. I think he's frustrated with himself because he's not having the bounce back year that he was hoping to have. Coming back from Tommy John surgery, he probably realized he lost some velocity.
No, it wasn't the Tommy John, brother. It was the knee in the knee, World Baseball Classic. The World Baseball Classic, yeah.
That's right. It was ACL. Yeah. But either way, he felt like he lost something, so he's trying to get his control back.
Mojo
his
back, yeah.
Dominance that he was. And so he, you know, and you know, it's a good indicator when the pitcher is not arguing with the umpire, because if that was me, and I know I didn't do it, I'd be screaming for my life, saying, there's no way. I'm not cheating. You're throwing me out of a game that can potentially cost us the game. But he didn't put up a fight. He just said, okay, whatever.
Yeah, so he was really laid back about it.
Yeah, even in this post-game interview, he's like, hey, it's, you know, the pitch, you know, the umpires got to do what they got to do. It's about the, you know, the reputation of the game and all, blah, 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 blah. So that's basically saying, yeah, I did it, but whatever. What are you going to do about it? But it's what it is, but... the thing the Mets need to do is they need to figure out if Diaz is not going to be a closer and you want to put him in a different position as a setup, who's going to be a closer now? Do you have to go get somebody? Or can you plug and play different guys and see, hey, let's see if you work. Let's see if this guy works. Let's see if that guy works.
And that's a problem
and
for me.
Figure it out. But the problem is none of the guys you have in the bullpen are good candidates. Like, yeah, I would put him in the eighth inning or the ninth inning. Whatever, you know what I mean? So it's a tough decision. But the problem is with the Mets is you can't give up on Diaz because you traded for him. So you kind of stuck with him. So you got to work out the kinks and
say, hey,
dude, what's going on? And you paid him big money because he had a
big money.
In the three, well, he's been there, what, 4 years? How many years has he been there?
Yeah, like 3-4 years already. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, in those 4 years, he's had one good season, like one dominant.
Good season. Yeah, dominant. One good season. The first year, he wasn't, you know, he didn't do
he
so
was
well.
Trash.
Then the second year, you know, I believe in the offseason, you know, he had a lot of heart-to-hearts with Pedro Martinez, and Pedro Martinez kind of helped him along the way. And then he came back super dominant, and, you know, he became a fan favorite, household name. Then he got paid, and then... he got hurt in the baseball classic. We didn't see him for a whole year. And now this is his comeback year. So, yeah, this is like his third year in. But the problem is that, you know, it feels like he's lost confidence in himself. And it's just not working out for him. I don't know if he's still hurt or he came back too early. We don't know. Because, you know, these teams hide all that information from us, you know. They'll lie and say, oh, yeah, he has a shoulder impingement, whatever. It's all a lie, because he's not doing well. So they have to come up with an excuse for why that horse isn't doing well, you know. But whatever. Stearns has a lot of problems right now. You know, he has to figure out what he's going to do with this team. I mean, listen. He put this team together prior to the season starting, and, you know, we were like, yeah, we're not going to be able to compete. But I think if we would have started off hot like we are now, it would have been a completely different story. You know, but then again, you have to say to yourself, yeah, Atlanta lost a lot of good players as well, and they're not as dominant as they should be, and they're still fighting, and they're in the race. Philly got really hot really fast, and they're up there. They went through a lot of injuries as well, but they're staying afloat and they're putting up a good fight, and they want to win that division, and that's super interesting to me. I want to see. Listen, they haven't lost the lead yet, and we'll see what happens. And we're gaining up on Atlanta. We just have to play really good baseball, and we have to make sure that the bullpen is ready to go. But then on the other side of town, we have the Yankees. The Yankees, oh, man, I don't know what's wrong with the Yankees. Let me explain something to you. So after they swept Minnesota in early June, they went 10-28, all right? What happened, right? So basically, there's only a couple of guys in the lineup that are actually hitting, and that's Volpe, Judge, and Soto. Everybody else pretty much forgot how to hit. They're starting pitching awful. They didn't have Cole for a while. He recently just came back. And it's like, you know, we have to give him time. You have to understand that. You have to give him time because, you know, he was a AL Cy Young winner. But right now, I don't feel like he's at his full potential. So I'm not going to even talk about him. But Gil, whatever they want to call him, Rondon, they're horrible right now. They haven't been able to keep up. The O's have been on their cheeks the whole way. The O's played them. They won the series. And I think it's the O's division to lose, to be honest with you. And the O's have been doing well as well. The O's, the Baltimore Orioles, went 17-27 in that same time span, you know? So that's not a bad record, you know? Yeah, you know, they had a little slip-ups here and there. They got swept by Houston. And, you know, they've had a couple of, you know.
They lost 2 out of 3 to Cleveland, which is
Cleveland. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's a great team, too. So, you know, these little hiccups that the O's had, all right, they were bad, you know, because we're looking from the outside in, but not as bad as the Yankees. But it's funny how the Yankees are still in the race, you know, but it's going to come down to a divisional series, and I can pretty much guarantee you that the O's have the better lineup, and they will prevail, and they will win the division. And that's my opinion. You know, listen, it's my opinion, but I think that the O's have a better team. They have a better lineup. You guys, you know, have a lot of, you know, injuries this year as well. You guys lost 2 starters, I believe, and you guys will figure it out. There's a lot of money over there to play with, and you guys are definitely buyers. And you guys are going to figure it out. You guys are going to figure it out. Okay? I believe so. I know you're hard on your team, but you tell me what you think. That's your team. I'm going to let you speak on it.
Yeah, no, they the problem with Baltimore is the bullpen is not as strong as it usually has been, and they lost a lot of starters. They lost a couple of their starters, so now they're forced to have to acquire 2 new starters in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money line, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In app only.
The trade deadline. And obviously, when you do that, you're going to have to dip into your enriched farm system. So they can afford to do it because they have a really good farm system. So they can go get the pieces that they need for starting. That's their biggest problem. And the other problem I have is the closer, man. Like, you don't realize how good of a closer. You don't realize how good your closer is until you lose him. And Felix Bautista, similar situation. He had a dominant year with the Orioles last year, and then he got hurt, and he's gone. Same thing with Diaz. He had a dominant year, and then he got hurt, and then he was gone for the whole year. So it'll be interesting to see how Felix Bautista does. We'll see if he still has his velocity and all that stuff. Who knows? Now, he had Tommy John surgery, so it'll be that does affect the arm. But the guy they signed to replace him is Craig Kimbrel, and I think he's like 4th all-time in saves. So he's a great closer, but he's out in the back nine of his career. They signed him to a 1-year deal. He came from Philadelphia last year. But the one problem he had in Philadelphia and he's having this year is he has a lot of hiccups. Now lately he's been good in one run games. But when it comes to one run games, I have to hold my breath because it's like, oh boy, he's gonna blow this game. And that's what happened against Cleveland in the middle series game against Cleveland. They were up and they blew it and they lost 10-8 because of it. It's like, oh, so frustrating. So the Baltimore's thinking is, let's not use this guy if we don't have to. If we can get a 3-1 lead going into the ninth inning, don't bring in Kimbrel unless you really have to. And we're looking at the list of teams with the most saves. Baltimore is number one in saves. They have 32 saves, followed by Milwaukee and Tampa Bay. Milwaukee, I think, has about 30 saves. And then Tampa Bay has 30, and Milwaukee has like 28 saves. So those top three teams have the highest rate in saves. What does that tell you? That means that they're playing a lot of run-run games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always good because eventually your closer is going to burn himself out.
Of course he is.
And then you're really in trouble because my concern is he might coast through the season just fine. He can get away with all these blown games. But when he gets in the postseason, it's like a game five in the ALDS.
Can't even
and he blows the game.
Yeah, he's tired.
You just lost the series to the Yankees because your closer came in and gave up a two-run home run, and that's it. You can't afford to do that. And the Baltimore, you know, their window to win a championship is they're at the window just open, so they got time, but they don't have time because things change on a dime. You know what I mean? There's been cases of teams that they're going to be so dominant. Look at the Cubs. Everyone thought the Cubs were going to be dominant for a while, and look what happened. They won that one chip, and that's it. They haven't been relevant since. And they've been good. They're 500, you know, but they're not like what they were before. So you wonder, like, is that going to happen to Baltimore? I don't know. You know, like I said, Baltimore has better position players in the farm system than they do pitching prospects. And that's a problem because I think pitching is way more important. Pitching is your defense. You know, the guy can hit home runs. It's like the Yankees, right? For example, going back to the Yankees, that guy, Luis Gil, he was dominant in the first half, and then all of a sudden something happened. He's just been awful.
Yeah.
He came against Baltimore, and they blew it. He just got slapped around for like 17 runs. And then his next out, and he got, you know, slapped around.
Yeah, the Mets destroyed him too.
Yeah, the Mets. I think, it was the Mets and the Orioles, and they slapped him around. And no, it was the Orioles and the Mets. And it's just like, so now the problem with the Yankees, going back to the Yankees, I think the problem is, when they don't produce home runs and the only two guys that can produce runs is Judge and Soto, what do you do? Verdugo's been a good addition. He's been a good player for them. Volpe's been great. But those guys are not home run hitters. They're line drive hitters. So if Soto is off, and Soto and Judge were both out of the lineups a couple times this month with injuries, thank God nothing major. But when they don't produce runs, guess what? And your pitching doesn't hold up its bargain, you're going to lose a lot of games. So, like I said, Baltimore, their problem is their bullpen. They don't have a good starting staff. That's why I don't think Baltimore is better than the Yankees, because the Yankees have a better pitching staff than the Orioles. That's just my opinion. And they have a better bullpen for the most part. But who knows? Things could play out differently. Like I said, look at the Mets. They got hot at the right time. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe Baltimore or the Yankees can get hot at the right time and keep it moving.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And now we're going to talk about this amazing guy who hasn't been around for too long. And he's just off to an amazing start. And we're talking about Paul Skenes. So Paul Skenes blew out the Mets 14-2 on Friday at PNC Park, right? This guy threw seven solid, right? Eight strikeouts, allowing two earned runs and four hits. This guy, he's on fire. And, you know, prior to this series, we were destroying aces up and down, destroying them. It didn't matter who was on the mound. The Mets were destroying them. But Paul Skenes is a different story. So he strikes out eight batters, right? He sets the record for the most outings of seven or more strikeouts in his first 10 appearances in the MLB, right? That's pretty amazing. He's 5-0 now with a 2.12 ERA, and he's only given up 14 earned runs in his first 10 starts in the major leagues. I don't even know what to say. This guy is here to stay. That's all I can say to that. Like, this, the Pirates have landed, you know? They can definitely build around that. You know, the Pirates haven't won in a long time, but things are about to change. That's for sure. Things are about to change.
Yeah, I got to see Paul Skenes last Saturday. He played Atlanta, and he pitched six innings. Six hits, nine Ks, and one walk, and one run given up. It was a great performance. It was so fun to see him pitch.
Yeah.
He is the truth, man. And he's tall, man. He's like 6'7". But Pittsburgh, if they can get their offense right, they could be a good team. They could be like the Mets a couple years ago when they had all those, the DeGroms.
Yeah.
They had Harvey. Noah Syndergaard, the Harveys. Who else? I forgot who else. But, you know, they had that good four starting rotation. Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, they had those three good starters, and it really helped them. But who knows if they can do that. He's definitely the ace of that organization.
Oh, man. Sure he is.
It's pretty amazing. So he's fun. I enjoyed watching him pitch. I hope they play in New York so you can go watch him play, because he's phenomenal.
I would love it. Yeah, I would love to see him pitch. I'll have to look at the schedule. I mean, even if it's, you know, me going to Yankee Stadium, I would definitely do it just to watch that guy pitch. I mean, he's a force. I watched a video today of him and his pregame workouts, and it's pretty intense. You know, you can tell this guy's a soldier, you know. I've never seen anything like it. I'm going to send you that video so you can see that later. But this guy is onto something. He definitely is. He knows what he wants to do, and he accomplishes every single little thing out there. He's pretty, pretty awesome. They're lucky to have him. That's what I have to say. And then, you know, we're going to jump to our hitter of the week, right? And that's going to be Mr. Vladimir Guerrero. He went 3-for-5 with a home run, a double, and 6 RBIs, beating the Yankees the other day, 9-3. And our pitcher of the week goes to St. Louis' Sonny Gray. He went 7 innings, giving up 1 hit and 1 earned run with 8 Ks and no walks, beating San Francisco, who's in the wild card race as well. So salute to, you know, Sonny Gray. But it's funny because both of these teams are the teams I just finished talking about earlier. And these are the two teams that the Mets have to worry about, because these two teams own the second and third wild card in the National League. But, you know, that's how it works. And I have a question for you, obviously, you know, the trivia question of the week. This is going to be a good one because it's like it's easy if you know baseball, but it can go south for you. So basically the question is, who are the 5 best closers in Major League history? I don't want you to mention all 5 or try to get all 5. I just want you to try to get 3. All right. And I want you to think about it before you go flying off the cuff, because I know, you know your baseball and you're really good at this. And I already know who your first one is going to be, because everybody knows who's number one out there. But you think you're ready? All I want you to do is mention 3 to me. And I won't give you any hints, but maybe if, you know, you choke a little, I might throw a little bone. But go ahead, think about it and let me know. Who are the 5 best closers in MLB history? Since we were talking about bullpens today, I figured I'd throw one of these questions at you, you know?
Okay, so 3 I can think of. So Mariano's number 1, Trevor Hoffman number 2.
Okay, hold on, back it up. I want to give you numbers. You're 100% right about Mariano. He was definitely...
What about Trevor Hoffman? All right,
I'm not going to say anything yet about that, but I'm going to tell you that... Mariano recorded 652 career saves, all right? The most in MLB history at the time of his retirement, right? He was an all-star 13 times and won 5 world championships. Like, that's crazy, right? Now, it's funny you said Trevor Hoffman. Trevor Hoffman is number 2 on the list, all right? So you're really good at this, right? He finished his career with 601 saves, right? And he was a 7-time All-Star. All right. Now, who is your third?
This one, I'm just going to take a wild guess, but I remember he pitched for the Mets and I think the Phillies, but when he did, he was dominant. I think it was the Phillies. I'm going to go with Billy Wagner. What do you say?
Wow, you struck out. Strike 1. You need one more. You need one more. And you know what?
The other guy I could think of is Craig Kimbrell because he's fourth all time, but that's just my list.
Nah, definitely not on the list. So you have that strike two, brother.
Ooh,
it's gonna be hard. You know what? Because I think this is
Francisco Rodriguez.
Strike three, and you're out. So number three was Raleigh Fingers. You remember Raleigh Fingers? I don't know.
Well, I wasn't born yet.
You know, I know you wasn't born yet, but I'm pretty sure you've seen video. This is the guy that had the funny mustache. You know what I'm saying? Remember, I think, you know, he played for the Brewers back then. He was, you know, I remember having his baseball cards. And I remember, you know, he played for Oakland and Milwaukee. And I remember, you know, he recorded, he was the first pitcher to ever record 300 saves, right? And he was a seven-time All-Star. And he was a three-time World Series champion, which is pretty crazy. Back in the 70s, man. And, you know, he had that handlebar mustache. I definitely remember that. And, you know, he was a tall, lanky dude, you know. And now the other guy that you missed out on, this is before your time, but I remember him because I was, you know.
Whitey Ford.
No. Dennis Eckersley was the other guy.
Oh, that's, I remember that. Yes.
You remember that guy, right? Another guy. You know what's funny? He kind of
rings a bell.
He kind of looks like Raleigh Fingers as well. It's kind of funny. Not with the mustache, but it has similarities. It's funny. He played for Oakland as well. And he finished his career with 390 saves, and he was a six-time All-Star. Right? Dominant closer. Dominant. And then the fifth was Goose Gossage. Right?
Oh, good old Goose. How did I forget him?
Yeah, so you know who he played for already. He wore pinstripes, and he played for the Padres as well, for the Friars. And he finished his career with 310 saves, and he was a nine-time All-Star. And there you have it.
We're so the Padres had two guys, Hoffman and...
And Oakland had two as well.
Yep.
With Raleigh and Eckersley. Yeah, but we're coming to the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I thought it was an amazing show. You know, like going off the cuff is really easy because, you know, there's not a lot to, you know,
think
study.
About.
There's not a lot to think about. And it's a smooth sailing episode because it's opinion-based, you know. But I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you soon. All right? We're coming close to the All-Star break, and we're going to be having a special edition episode, and we're going to be talking about who made it. You know, the new rules for the home run derby, they're out there. You guys, you know, haven't noticed. And
then breakdown of the first half of the season.
In the awesome first half. And, you know, I just want to say good night, Lasha. You know, I love you. And
good night, man. Love you, too. It was fun.
It was great, bro. Have a good night, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.